Well, good evening. Open your Bibles to Psalm 136, please. Psalm 136. Glad to have you here tonight. We want to talk about kindness tonight. And as per usual, with any of these good qualities that we're talking about all quarter, God's the ultimate example. And so Psalm 136, we're not going to read all through this, but this is the one where that second line in each verse is the exact same thing, all the way through all 26 verses, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And so just emphasis by repetition there. And God, and you, there's different translations for that Hebrew word there. Yours might say mercy or steadfastness or something like that. But this good quality, this belongs to God. His kindness, I think kindness is wrapped up in however it's translated there. Look also in Galatians chapter 5. You know, as we think about the elements of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness is one of those things. Galatians 5 in verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians 3 here in just a second. But, you know, kindness, I hope we don't, I don't know, maybe get tired of this. I've preached on kindness before. We've had Bible classes on kindness. But I just think it's one of those things that, do you feel like common courtesy and kindness is just, is it a lost art these days? I don't know if our political, you know, the vitriol in our society, it's just gotten so bad. And kindness is one of those things that we need to keep thinking about, reading about, saying, how do we get these texts into our lives? And it's not just one of those old, you know, kind of standby topics that is throwaway topic. I think it's getting more and more important that we think about this and how to apply this and how to be kind people. Because as the world keeps getting darker, our lights should keep shining brighter. We should be more and more different than everybody else, and we should be kind. Even in the midst of whatever else is going to go on, we should be kind. And so I hope we'll take this study seriously tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 and 2. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So, I mean, these are commands. Just as much as anything else is commanded, here's the command, be kind to one another. Colossians chapter 3. You know, and in these passages, these are like old self, new self passages. So get rid of the bad stuff, like in verse 8, put away anger, wrath, malice, all that. But then in Colossians 3:12, so as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. And so there again, this is, and we talked about patience in another class. Kindness and patience often go hand in hand. You're going to see them in these same passages listed together. So there's enough passages already that we've seen that this is commanded by God. This is not a suggestion. This is something we need to do, must do, have to do, be kind. This is for all people, for all time. Okay, any comments? That's our introduction to the topic of kindness tonight. Anything you want to say as we're beginning this evening about kindness? Keith?
Observation, but it's a word we don't use often, it seems, anymore. We use words like nice.
Okay.
And so I think it's, we're getting it out of our vocabulary, so it's not in our forethought.
Okay, yeah. I don't know why that is, but that does seem to be the case. We would say nice instead of kind. Probably about the same meaning there, but let's make sure we're focusing on the behavior, even if we don't say the word. Okay, anything else? Kyle?
I think one of the hard things about kindness, maybe just for me, maybe not, is the balance. And it's not so much, I think we all recognize in today's society that kindness can be dangerous. There are instances, in this room with us, no, all day long.
Yeah.
We're safe, we're good, but there are situations in life where kindness can almost kind of be dangerous.
Okay.
And so we see all those things play out in our lives, and maybe that affects us, you know, in a large part. And it's that balance, maybe sometimes it's just hard to know how far do I go, but yet be reserved enough that it doesn't put me in danger or, you know, a bad situation like that.
So, yeah, people take advantage of
yeah,
stuff
right.
like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So none of God's commands are designed to make a fertile ground for sin. And that would include somebody doing something sinful to me. And so that's right. There's a line when, as we talked about with patience, where, okay, that's the end of the line, or with kindness, that's the end, that we're not trying to encourage someone to be sinful for me because I feel like I need to be a certain way. So that's good. So we'll talk about, you see, this is where we're going tonight. This is the whole slide right here. And so if I budget my time right, we'll get down to point three and talk about that balance. Hannah?
Be a standalone. Kindness without honesty is manipulation, and honesty without kindness is brutality.
Okay, all right, good, thank you. Okay, look in Luke chapter 6. Let's look at this first point here. We're sons of the Most High, not mirrors. Let me see, show you what I mean by that. Luke 6 and verse 27. But I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Okay, so we're going to read a few more verses, but just stop there. So a mirror, what I mean by that is a mirror just reflects what's in front of it. And so whatever you're doing, that's what I'm going to do back to you. And that's not what this is saying. This is saying we're going to be sons of the Most High. So if there's evil in front of me and I'm being a mirror, I'm going to be evil. If there's good in front of me, I'll be good. But it's just depending on what's in front of me. Jesus is not teaching us to be mirrors. He's teaching us to be sons of the Most High. So it doesn't matter what they are doing, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be kind. And so that means that kindness is a decision. It's not a reaction to what's in front of me. In verse 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. So not the way they do treat you. You're not reflecting their behavior. You're not a mirror. You're sons of the Most High. So here's some examples then in verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Okay, so he's saying, I mean, sinners do that. Sinners are mirrors. Sinners are nice when people are nice to them. Anybody can do that. But what about when somebody's not acting right? A lot of people say, I'm a nice person, just don't make me mad. I'm a nice person, just don't cross me. Well, Jesus is saying you can't be like, you've got to just decide I'm going to be this way no matter what the other person is. And so that's our command, that's our challenge, is to rise above the norm and be that kind of person. And then let me include verse 35, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So there's our word finally, kind. He is kind. So God, again, the perfect example of kindness. He's good, he's helpful, even when people deserve the opposite of that. Okay, anything to add so far? Other comments, questions? Ross?
Good comment. I heard a quote one time that said, be kind to unkind people because they need it the most.
Okay.
And it just, when I heard that, you think about folks who are just angry and grumpy. Well, there's something going on behind the scenes that we just can't see. Well, when you return that with kindness, that softens it a little bit. And they're the ones who end up needing the encouragement more than the folks who are, you know, happy-go-lucky.
Okay, all right. Good point. Good motivation to keep in our minds. Okay, JR?
When kindness is used here, the only thing I have in a very simple dictionary back here has to do with it being tenderness. Had you looked up anything?
I'm not focusing especially on that Greek word. Is that chrysotes word you're looking at?
I don't know. It just that's just what it gave for like a synonym to it. I don't know if you found anything else.
Okay.
Or its take. Because like I see, like, if you ever seen the Kind granola bars and they talk about, well, they're honest. It's kind of what they're trying to portray.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what exactly are we trying to portray here? And it'll probably come out what you're doing, but I don't know if you had a...
Yeah, I mean, tenderness is going to be one of the related words and feelings that's all wrapped up in this. And I'm not going to go through any definitions tonight, but yeah, that would certainly be involved. Well, let me ask you this. If somebody says, how would you evaluate this? If somebody says, I'll try this kindness thing out, I'll see how it goes. How would you evaluate? Is that what Jesus is telling us to do? Just, again, you can kind of glance back at Luke 6 here. If that's our attitude, if you're, let's say your son or daughter says that. Well, I'll try this out. I'll see how this kindness thing goes. How's it going to go? Could you tell them ahead of time? Mark?
Do that, you're making your righteousness dependent on the righteousness of others. So
okay.
You can say, well, I'm sitting now because, you know, look how they treat your feet. That's not how Jesus set the example.
Okay, yeah. So if that's what we mean by it, then really it's a kind of a bad goal. It's a bad way to look at this because we know how it's going to go. Some people are going to be kind back and some are not. What difference does it make? Angel?
I think what Christ is getting us to understand is that it doesn't depend on the circumstance. You know, so often in this life, we want it to depend on the circumstance or the person. And he loved us even whenever they were crucifying his son.
Yeah.
So it's not dependent on our earthly attitudes. It's
okay.
Dependent on what he wants from us.
Exactly right. So we shouldn't, you know, start the day with saying, well, I'll obey God's command about kindness until someone's mean to me, and then, well, I guess that didn't work. He's saying, just do this. Just like God is kind to ungrateful and evil men, you be like that. Tim?
Colossians 3, 23 and 24, talking about whatever we do, do it as to the Lord and not to men. Whenever we view people as God's creation and we keep those things in mind, regardless of how they're treating us, that I'm doing this for God. There's
okay.
Something more than me here. And so I'm going to do it the right way. That takes the objectiveness out of it.
Okay. Yeah. Good. You know, this is, it has to be a decision. It's just me deciding I'm going to be this way. It's not a reaction. Ed?
Yeah, you're saying, I'm going to try this out. Then, you know, you're looking for a goal or, you know, some sort of results. And I mean, like, am I going to get a better job? Is that my goal? I'll try this out.
Right, yeah.
Am I going to, you know, have more friends? Therefore, I'll try this out. You know, I mean, what's the purpose of trying it?
Yeah, exactly. So again, if that's what we mean when we're saying that, then that's not what Jesus is teaching at all. You know, he's saying no matter what, treat them, verse 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Not go out and mirror what's out there. We know what's out there. There's about a bunch of bad stuff. So that's not the goal here. Notice again in verse 35 when it says, he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Okay, that would include us. That would include all of humanity. That God sent Jesus for us who did not deserve Jesus. I mean, who's going to raise their hand and say, yeah, I deserved what? None of us. We didn't deserve that, and yet God did. That's just God's kindness, God's decision. I'm going to do this for humanity because that's who I want to be. And so it's a decision of character. It's not, uncommon for us to hear a comment thinking about physical families where you say, well, you're chip off the old block. You're just like your dad. You're acting just like your mom or something like that. What this is saying is you need to be like your father. This is the way your father is. You're trying to be like him. That's the goal. You're going to be like the Most High. You will be sons of the Most High when you are kind. That's what we're aiming for, not to mirror what we see in the world, because we know what's in the world. There's a bunch of sin in the world. That's not the goal. Okay, anything else so far? Let me bring up another passage here, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this will get us, again, some more practice thinking about how does this apply in life? What does this look like? So let me read a couple of verses here, and I'll just ask you, apply this. What does this look like? Give me some examples. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, what's that look like? If we're going to take that text and live it, what does that look like? Let's say a Bible topic comes up at work or school. You know, anytime there's a Bible conversation, maybe there's some tension. People don't necessarily like talking about their differences in religion. Just based on what those two verses say, What should we do or not do? What should we say or not say? What does that look like if we're trying to obey this passage? Any ideas? And I don't have any particular thing in mind. I'm asking you to be creative. What does this look like in real life? Ara?
Striking the balance of standing where truth stands, but doing it in a loving, gentle, considerate way that, you know, takes into account Proverbs 15:2. You know, what's the wisest way I can say this that makes it as easy as possible for them to open up, to soften that heart and let them receive the truth?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, 25 says correcting those
who are in opposition. So kindness does not mean I just agree with everything you say and say, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, just whatever you... There's correction. That means that I'm willing to say, well, hey, have you thought about that? But it's in a way that hopefully will make some progress. Sir?
Verse 23, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels.
Okay.
That's a way of being kind. Just not getting in the muck and mire of certain things.
Okay, here's an
avenue in the conversation that's not going to be profitable. Let's not go there, okay? That's a good part of it. JR?
I think part of this, we have to be perceptive. We have to have had a foundation in the Word and what it says and its view on things. And then we've got to be under control ourselves when we go into it so that we don't get drawn into quarrels and we are perceptive enough to see what's going to be quarrelsome and what is speculative. And then be able to realize what it is we need to teach from God's Word. What is it that God's Word says to be able to present that back? But not it's something that's, like in the verse before, that's foolish, but it's something that really is foundational.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's a
their
legit
faith.
Thing.
Yeah, a legitimate about. Thing, and not something that's, you know. There's all kinds of arguments I've run into before, and it's easy to get sucked in.
Yeah.
But you got to have that control out of it. Stay out of that.
And sometimes when people are tense, a little emotional, there can be some barbs. There can be maybe personal insults. And, you know, I think this is a good text to remind us. Some of that, just let it go. You don't have to try to correct every single wrong. Just let it be water off the duck's back, and let's talk about what's truly important, and let some of those personal things go. Keith?
We talk about James 1 and 19 often, about being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, but we don't go to 20 sometimes, and I wonder why. Because it's a good reminder to me. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's what I have to hold on to during that conversation with that person that wants to butt heads with me. I don't want to butt heads. I want to achieve God's righteousness and God's glory. Okay. So, you know, if you're going to see the argument start, it's a good time to start backing out of the conversation as a Christian and say, we can continue this at another time.
Yeah.
Go kindness. Respect their emotion, but don't respect to the point that you sacrifice anything with God.
Okay.
Good. Mark, one more comment.
I'll move on to the next point here. Yeah, I've heard people make the distinction before between kindness and being nice, where nice is kind of the idea, you know, the nice guy finishes last sort of thing, where the nice guy would just kind of roll over and let people roll over him. But kindness is the idea that everybody's been talking about here, where you want to have a softness to you where you want to respond to people in a way that will soften them so that they will hear the truth. But you don't want to compromise and just be rolled over by evil or by wrong thinking or, you know, something that's against God.
That's one reason. Jesus
living on earth is such a good example for us. Perfect in every way, and obviously he did not roll over in those kinds of ways. Okay, look in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's continue the conversation with this point. Kindness helps me positively influence others. Proverbs 3, 3, and 4, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You know, this is generally the way it works. This and by the way, again, that Hebrew word there can be translated as either kindness or loyalty or mercy or love and several different things. But I think a lot of those meanings are tied together. but be kind. He's saying you're in favor with God. God's going to like you. Generally speaking, people like you when you're kind. And so this is a good thing. You know, this is not like one of those, oh, I have to be kind. You know, this is a good, people tend to like you when you're kind. And so this is good. Look in Acts chapter 9. And one of the great examples we have of kindness is Tabitha. Acts 9, let's read that story again, starting in verse 36. Acts 9, 36. Now, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter rose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You know, what was it, obviously, that made Tabitha so reputable in that community? Well, it's her kindness. It's all these deeds of kindness and charity that she did, and everybody loved her. And, you know, obviously, and we've all known people like that, and we got a bunch of them right here. But it's her kindness. She's, as the NIV puts it there, she was always doing good and helping the poor. And so that's great for several reasons, not the least of which, verse 42, because of all of this, including her resurrection, many believed in the Lord. But just generally, Tabitha was a great example of kindness. And you notice in verse 39 there, everybody's showing, here's the tunics, here's the stuff that she made. So again, you think about widows in that society, they got no way to pay Tabitha back. You know, she's just doing this out of the goodness of her heart. There's probably no way she's ever going to receive a cent back from anybody that she's doing these deeds for. But that's the way she was. She's, look at the effect it had on these people. She dies, and I mean, the town is mourning for her, which makes sense. We understand that. So, you know, I think it's interesting. The Holy Spirit gave the power to the apostles to raise people from the dead. But they didn't raise everybody from the dead. There's people dying every day, all the time, just like it is today. And yet, here's this woman. Why this woman? I'm sure it was because the way she was, and she's such a great example of kindness, and she's made an example here in Scripture and specified this miracle happened with her because of who she was. So think about her example in that community. Because of the way she lived, her demeanor, her deeds, her disposition. I mean, if Tabitha wanted to come talk to you about something spiritual, she's going to have a much better chance of getting through than some crotchety, crusty old person who's got a frown on their face all the time, right? I mean, just because of the way she is. So kindness just helps us. It just greases the wheels for us to have some positive influence on other people. Let me read another passage, then I'll pause for comments. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we looked at this one, was it last week or week before, where Paul's commending himself and saying, look, here's some things about me, my ministry, so I'm not discredited. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse, let's start in 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity and knowledge, in patience, in kindness. There's our word. In the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. So, you know, Paul several times had to defend himself against critics, and he's doing that again, and he's saying, just basically, just look how I live my life. Am I a Christian or not? And so he'd been around a lot of people a lot of times, and you know, that's pretty cool, by the way, that you could say that. Can we say that? Just look at how I live my life. Am I a Christian or not? And he's saying, just look at the way I was kind. What does that tell you? And so he doesn't want anything, verse 3, to discredit his ministry. And his conduct was such that he could just lay it out there and say, just show me what I did wrong. Not that he was perfect, but he's an example of how to live like Christ. So, question for thought there for us. Does my general demeanor, does my conduct allow for that I can say, look, tell me what I'm doing wrong here. Is this the way a Christian should live or not? Okay, let me pause there. Any comments, questions? And by the way, I'm putting that passage in this point here. Look at the good that Paul does. A lot of that's because of the way he is, his disposition. His love is evident for people. His kindness is there. Sir?
Together, Tabitha, with Acts 2:47, those that were baptized and just became Christians, they were praising God and having favor with all the people.
Okay.
So why would they be having favor? I guess they're being like, you know, Tabitha.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we would expect. You know, it's good times. They're saved. They're happy. They're getting along. People are in a good mood. So that's exactly what the way it should be. Okay? Anything else to comment on? The excellent wife, Proverbs 31, opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 26. Think about that kind of woman in a family. You know, what does that do for a family when you have that kind of woman there? I mean, that's what you're wanting. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And what a pleasant environment that creates. Local church, same thing. When people are kind. And maybe somebody has a bad day, they say something, they shouldn't have said that, you know, but people just generally kind of, they give you a pass sometimes. They just let it go. You know, that's the way you make a group of people work together. And it's just so helpful when we are kind the way we're supposed to be and can get along and be positive and optimistic. Okay, anything else? Comments? Anything on that? Angel?
Too, it can help. I think that's what, whenever you act in such a way as that, like Dorcas did, she didn't have to tell anyone she was a Christian. Everybody knew.
Okay, yeah, you know, it's just evident. And that ought to be evident for all of us, that whether I say it out loud or not, people can tell something different about me. You remember when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam came to power and there was a chance there. Now, God had already foretold the kingdom was going to split, so it's going to happen. But the old wise men told him, if you will be kind to these people, you can make it work. And he listened to the young fools. And the kingdom split because of the trouble that was started there, just like God had foretold. Kindness is just so powerful at preventing problems and causing good things to happen. It'll help us in our lives. Let's look at this last point now. God balances his kindness with severity. Look in Romans chapter 2, please. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. I like that thought, that his kindness leads me to repentance. And, of course, he's talking especially to Jews here, but this is just an applicable principle, I think, to everybody. When we come to understand what God has done for us, that he sent Jesus to die for us, that he's compassionate, that he's given us another day to live on his planet and a chance to repent, that he's set the hope of heaven before, all of that comes into my mind. God's kindness, that I don't deserve any of that stuff. And that leads me to repent. I mean, we have human relationships. People are nice to me, and it causes a good effect on me most of the time. And so how much more when God, when I start to understand his kindness, that it would lead me to do something good like repent and turn my life over to him. Look in Romans chapter 11. We have this metaphor. Remember Romans 11, this tree metaphor? And we're not going to go through all of that, but just look at a verse here where, you know, it's Jews and Gentiles, and you cut the branches off the tree or you graft the branches back onto the tree. And so it's representing who's in fellowship with God or not. But the whole thing is it depends on your faith. You see that in verse 20 there. It doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. It's do you believe or do you not believe? And so then in verse 22, he says, behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. So he's telling those Jews and Gentiles, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're on God's tree or not. What matters is if you are suffering from unbelief or if you're faithful to him. And it's your choice. You're either going to see the kind God or the severe God, and it's up to you. Faith or no faith, and that's what That's what the difference is. So here's God, the master of kindness. He's kind to ungrateful and evil men, but there's a limit. And for God, he's God. He has the prerogative to set the conditions. And in this case, faith. And you will get his kindness when you're doing what you're supposed to do and receptive to him and his authority in your life. But there's a limit. And he will send people to hell. And so even that kind God has that severe side to him. Look in Galatians 2. Paul, again, we mentioned Paul earlier, a great example of kindness. And yet, Paul is also an example where there's an end to that. Galatians 2:11, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. So there's Peter making a mistake, and Paul condemns him, apparently in front of everybody. And look in chapter 3 and verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? So he's getting on them here. Chapter 4 and verse 11. I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. You know, he's saying some things that are negative that maybe would upset them. Chapter 5 and verse 12. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. That's pretty strong wording, kind of a play on words there. He's talking about circumcision in the context, and I wish they'd just cut themselves off. And so, some pretty strong language here from Paul. Paul's kind, but there's also a time when you need to say what needs to be said, just some plain-spoken things to defend God's truth and to tell the truth, and Paul's an example of that. God himself is the perfect example of that. Okay, so there's the balance. God balances his kindness with severity. With patience, we said the same thing. There's a balance. There's patience, but there's also an end of patience. And God, the perfect example of that. Okay, comments, questions on this? How do we draw that balance? Anything you want to add to the discussion here? Go ahead.
Love, and his severity is not with any selfish intent.
Okay.
It is what is best for us.
Yeah.
And sometimes, because our feelings get hurt, we're severe, but not for the other person's best interest.
Okay.
Maybe we're having a bad day. We lost our temper. That's why we're severe. So we might get severe for the wrong reasons. Okay. Of course, God, perfect in temperament, never having a bad day in that sense, and always saying the exact right thing at the exact right time. Okay. What else? Okay, let me ask this then. We know there's balance, but let's just look at kindness in general here. We've got a few minutes left. What are some examples of kindness in our culture? I'm just asking for anything. I don't have anything particular in mind. You know, we have these commands, be kind. Okay, what does that mean? Let's just list some examples, however small. What is kindness? Daniel?
First, I want to say, I think the kindness that's being talked about and described in the Bible is not a reaction to things. It's a behavior.
Okay.
So it's not, you're not kind to someone only whenever, obviously when they're kind to us, we talked about that before, or whenever somebody's mean to us, you know, returning kindness to that person. It's more of a state of being all the time.
Okay.
It's not a reaction to something. It's just the way that we are,
okay.
The way that we should be. But as far as examples of being kind, just being willing to help others.
Okay.
Just generally.
Yeah. And some people are just really good at that, and some of the others of us have to work on that to have that demeanor. Sir?
Along the lines of what he just said, there's somebody that I remember, and I just remember him. I may be wrong. Only what I know of him, maybe, you know, if I knew more about him, he wasn't, but to me, he was just kind. And was and I just remember his mannerism as, and you might say, a gentleman, gentleman, which gentle is synonymous with kindness. And yeah, it was just his demeanor. And one of the things, I guess, is that he was on the same, you know, plane. He wasn't up and down, you know, angry one minute, sad or whatever, you know, all over the place, kind of just even keeled.
Okay.
That is a characteristic of it.
And some people might naturally be more even-keeled. That's just kind of, they were that way as babies. They're just, it's just easier for them. Some people are that way, though, because they work on it. And we think, oh, that's easy for you. It's not easy for them. They're working on it so much that it seems easy to them. And they're just kind, and you see smiles on their face, sometimes because they're forcing themselves. They had a bad day. But kindness is commanded. We're trying to work on this. Jenny?
Always nice. Like, for instance, punishing a child for doing, you know, something bad. Letting them get away with it isn't the best thing for them, you know, and punishing them, well, that's not nice to, you know, they don't think that's nice, but, you know, punishing them, that's doing them a kindness because, you know, you're teaching them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing the best for them, even if they don't understand that now. That's exactly right. Okay, good. Anna Marie?
In public service positions or like the food industry or things like that, they see a lot of unkindness all the time. And so when they see someone who is kind, it's a breath of fresh air for them.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I remember, D. Bowman, for example, he mentioned one time that he invited somebody to church and they came, and it was just somebody he used to see. I think it was way back years ago when he worked in the radio station, and he would just smile at them. And I think they were through a window or something, and he just smiled. And over the days, you know, passing time, they were receptive to him, and he invited them to church. They came to church, and just small things like that, just common courtesy, you know. And we don't always have to be so mean, and just kind. It just greases the wheels of so many things and makes things, opens up some potential interactions there that we can use to do some further good. JR?
When you go through the McDonald's drive-thru and you order that custom burger, they don't get it right, and you go back inside.
And you're nice.
You're tender to that person to say
pimples,
please.
But you're nice about it. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now, JR.
Or you just eat it anyway.
Okay. Yeah, or you don't even go inside.
Yeah, sometimes just eat it anyway.
Hey, one thing I was thinking of, another thing that I kind of hear as we're talking about this, is the difference between kindness is, in a sense, being on offense. You are looking for ways.
Okay.
To, you know, so many times we're on defense. What are people going to do for us? How do I protect myself from somebody taking advantage of me? How do I do this? Kindness is the idea of I want to let that person know, or this person. Of course, we're all guilty of not doing it at times, but you know, if we think of how can we go on offense of seeking out how we can help other people, how we can, you know, be positive to them, I think that mindset is probably common to people who are kind to people all the time. They're thinking of how they can.
Yeah, that's right. And that follows the example of God in taking the initiative to do it. I like the way you put it, going on offense. Okay, Kaylin?
I think of the phrase, like, see a need, fill a need. That's what my mom used to tell me.
Say it again?
See a need, fill a need. Mm-hmm. And so if you see a need, like, usually you're looking for a need. You know? And I think, honestly, the first person that comes to my mind with that is Dalton. Dalton is always, like, looking around at who needs help, and like I just remember one time, like he just saw someone, I don't know, was having trouble carrying something, and like ran out of his way to go help them. Just I think that that's exactly what I was thinking too about being on offense and looking for.
Old Dalton's gonna make a good husband.
Hey, Kaylin. I like old Dalton. Corey.
So Dave, I guess the question is, what prevents us from being kind? Right. Wouldn't that be the follow-up? Okay, this sounds easy, and we should all be kind. Well, then, why is it sometimes hard? Right? And is it, sometimes it's not the external, sometimes it's the internal, right? It's the, I've got something going on in my life that I'm not taking care of, or I'm not putting in the right compartment, and we're dealing with that, and therefore it comes out. And so it's hard for me to be kind. Yeah. And that's not your fault, because I didn't treat you kind, right? That's my fault. Sometimes it is your fault, right? But the point is, sometimes I need to deal with stuff. I need to get that peace and joy and have the patience, all the other things we talked about, and it's easier to be kind.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. So it starts from within, and it's my job to take care of. Okay, that's a great point. Ed, you get the last word tonight.
Your pressure's on.
Yeah, I was thinking, she said food service. Well, 100 years ago, I worked at a bank, and I did support for behind customer service. And, when you start messing with people's money, I mean, all those people in customer service had ulcers. That's what they heard all day long. I mean, it was just terrible. And so I guess, like you said, there's to kind of look at the opposite side of what does cause, there's tension, but, you got to control even, important things like money in your life.
Okay, so what an opportunity, by the way, for us. People in those jobs especially, if someone's nice to them, if they smile, they're going to eat it up because they're starving for that.
Just like she said.
Okay, that's a good takeaway. All right, thank you for your attention, and we'll plan to pick this up next week. Thank you.